Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcast live from sunny Southern California and is brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. Today, by the way, marks the 20th anniversary of Tom Brady replacing Drew Bledsoe. Okay, that happened. And we're going to discuss a lot of the quotes and comments which are coming out because we continue to prepare for next week, right? Next week is week four. That's Patriots-Buccaneers. This week it's Buccaneers against the LA Rams. What's amazing about this is 20 years ago, it's a true story, okay? 20 years ago, It was the second weekend after 9/11. It was the first weekend sports were back. How do I know that? Well, I mean, obviously I lived it, but I actually guest hosted for a guy named Todd Wright all night over on ESPN Radio. Okay, so, and I guest hosted, I think it was Sunday night and Monday night. I don't think it was Tuesday. I don't know why those two dates were so specific, but I remember doing Sunday night and Monday night. I know that because, remember, there were no games after 9/11. And then the following weekend, I went to Oklahoma, took on Kansas State in football. And I went to that game. And then I flew from Oklahoma City to Cincinnati, which is actually in Northern Kentucky, right? Northern Kentucky Airport. And I remember there being like three other civilians in the airport. The rest were dogs and security. That's it. I was the only one on both of my planes. So I fly into Hartford. And on Sunday, I got a chance to see the pregame show, whatever. It was cool. It was my first time there. It was really. And then I had to go watch the games. And because I didn't live there or know anybody there, I just said, like, hey, what's the best sports bar in town? I went to a place called Sliders. Hey, Sliders is one town over from Bristol. One town over. And it's in it's interesting because I go in there and obviously it was that particular day, a crazy popular day at the restaurant it's in Plainville, Connecticut. Right? Literally the town's called Plainville. You can't get any more plain than Plainville. Anyway, Plainville, Connecticut. So I go in there, people are yelling at the TV, and of course, Drew Bledsoe doesn't slide. He gets run out of bounds. He gets hit, got hit hard right as he's about to step out of bounds, and in trots Tom Brady. Now, I've told this story before, but I'm not sure how many who are on the crew were here to hear it. But the truth is, I went on radio that night and said, Patriots are done. They just lost Drew Bledsoe, probably for the season. That's what he said. And oh, yeah, by the way, anybody who is outside of New England thought the same thing. Sixth-round pick, nice player, second year. He started at Michigan, but there was also Drew Henson who was playing. Fast forward 20 years, it's in the conversation of worst takes of all time, right? Worst takes of all time. Now, we continue to react to what's changed in the last 20 years. Alex Guerrero, of course, came into Tom Brady's life. He's his personal trainer, part of TB12. He said this on Bill Belichick, that he, quote, never evolved in how he treated the star quarterback. That was a factor in Brady leaving after 20 seasons. Guerrero went on and said, it was like Bill never, I think all his emotions or feelings never evolved with age. As Tom got into his late 30s and early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like a 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older. He should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared if he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone in their 40s like they're in their 20s. It doesn't work. I would actually push back and say what people don't know is you go back like a decade ago and maybe even before Brady started back winning titles. Remember, they went a decade without winning a title. But Tom Brady started to get superstar treatment. He was close with the owner. He got a helicopter in and out of the stadium. And other players are like, yo, this ain't the Patriot way. So Alex Guerrero, of course, seeing it through the lens of, hey, I got the most successful quarterback of all time. Why are you treating him like a 25-year-old kid who hasn't proven himself? But one, that's how the Patriots have always rolled. That's the beauty to the Patriots and maybe one of the reasons that they're very successful. And two, they tried the star treatment thing. It didn't work. Now, of course, you can't really listen to dads about their sons because they're all blinded by love. But here's Tom Brady Sr. on with Tom Curran on his podcast.
Frankly, it may well have been the perfect for Belichick to move on from him. On the other hand, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are pretty happy that the decision was made in Foxborough that they didn't want to afford him or didn't want to keep him when his last contract came up.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
So, look, that's a dad standing up for his kid. No matter how old Tom Brady is, he's still Tom Brady's son, and that's what Tom Brady thinks. Now, I don't know how much of it was financial. Remember, if we look at it, again, part of it is this is how Brady has always rolled. He kept getting a little bit more money up front and lessening the tax burden. And Tom Brady was the one who wanted the deal, negotiated the deal with the ownership so that he was a completely unrestricted free agent at the end of two seasons ago, right? So as much as Tom Sr. wants to sit here and go like, yeah, they didn't want to pony up to keep him, he didn't take more money to go to Tampa. There are plenty of people who had questions about, do they want Tom Brady? And, oh, yeah, by the way, though he had succeeded and been incredible during his time in New England, that team needed a refresh because they were in cap hell. So, obviously, we're seeing a little bit more or hearing a little bit more of Brady's side of the story. What I can tell you from people who negotiate or thought they were negotiating with Brady to come to their team was he was just done with New England. It was just, he was done. He was ready to move on. It had nothing to do with money or anything else. He had just done that thing for 20 years and was ready to move. Who do you believe? And would it have mattered? And would the Patriots have been successful if they treated Tom Brady like royalty instead of just like everyone else, the Patriot way? We'll get into that upcoming in the show. My personal feeling is the Patriots were the Patriots because of how the Patriots treated all the Patriots. It worked. It worked. It built a chip on everyone's shoulder where they always thought they were worth a little bit more. But also, it built a cohesiveness between all the players because they knew that they were all in it just to win. They weren't in it for the top dollar. So there is a method to the madness. And what happens is, if you're too close to the forest, like Alex Guerrero, who also, you know, holds it against Belichick that he kicked him out the facility. You know, does Tom Brady holds it against Belichick because he's his dad? I don't think these are breakthrough statements. These are two of your biggest supporters simply telling their perspective.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington will join us upcoming in 10 minutes. Part of our new morning show, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. Vic Fangio's Denver Broncos are 2-0. What's interesting is he's apparently letting us in on private conversations with other coaches. Here's Fangio about a recent conversation he had before their game with the Jaguars and their head coach, Urban Meyer.
I don't know Urban Meyer at all, really. I met him the other day, you know, shook his hand before the game and after the game. And his comment to me was, every week it's like playing Alabama in the NFL. You know, that's it. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league.
A couple things here. One, yeah, there's nothing. It's fairly harmless that you let us in on that level of conversation. Fairly harmless, but it is one of those. I understand what he's doing, right? I understand what he's doing. All he's doing is giving context to how anyone can beat you on any week, no matter what their record is. I got it. But he's also letting us in on a private conversation. Now, as for Urban Meyer, I think we all know what he meant, but what was said, like, look, dude, if you think the Texans are good, who they beat him in week one, wait till you get and play the real teams in the NFL. You know, he still get to match up with the Ravens, with the Chiefs, with the Rams, with the elite talented teams, with the Packers. My guess would be he'd say this is like the SEC and there's no bye games. And oh yeah, by the way, there is an Alabama. It's listed one of the top five teams. How do we feel about him sharing that? Like, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it is generally frowned upon, isn't it? I want to get to this Tom Brady stuff. LeVar Arrington joins us. Of course, he was a star in his own right, playing not just at Penn State, of course, most notably with the Washington Redskins, now the football team in the NFL. You can hear him every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern time. Two pros, Cup of Joe. Of course, former Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and he got former first-round pick and Notre Dame star Brady Quinn, along with Jonas Knox. That's the Cup of Joe every morning. Okay, so what's your sense? You got Alex Guerrero like, hey, you guys didn't give Tom Brady star treatment. That was the Patriot way. Where are you on Brady's kind of sycophants, if you will, saying he was done wrong by New England?
Ooh. Done wrong is, that's probably too strong, Doug. I mean, I think he can probably feel a certain type of way in terms of how things ended or things that he may have not received that he requested and wanted. So maybe he was not satisfied with the way things went based upon what he believed he represented to that team and that organization. That would be fair. But done wrong, that's like saying you owe me something. And I don't think in the world of business, once you understand how business works, really they don't owe him anything. It's a gesture of you know, compensation or you know, just looking out like this is how we feel about you. But they don't have to.
Okay, was he vindicated based upon his play last year?
I mean, I don't know that he needed to be vindicated, Doug. I think that he proved that he can do it, and Tom Brady is Tom Brady. I mean, I don't think anyone would question that. How do you take a team that's a subpar average team, and in a year, in a pandemic year, no off season, no real training camp, no real mini camps, OTAs. How do you take a team that was mediocre from a year before that loses their quarterback, their main quarterback, and you bring in this guy who's supposed to be getting too old, and they make a run for the Super Bowl and win it? That's just unheard of. So as much as I think, you know, Coach Arians is an amazing coach, obviously I'm a big fan of Byron Leftwich. Big fan of Todd Bowles, but if you're talking about the one denominator, the common denominator of getting a Super Bowl and getting to a Super Bowl that was in New England that went to Tampa Bay, it would be Tom Brady. So I think I certainly believe he's vindicated anyone who may have thought that Tom Brady wasn't the real deal and he was a system guy under Belichick at New England.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of LeVar Arrington. Check him out every morning, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let's get to Aaron Rodgers. His criticism of whether it's the media or people on other platforms is, you don't know him. You're commenting on things you don't know. Basically, he's pushing back on the commentary that week one of the reasons they looked so bad was his offseason. Where are you on how much of his offseason affected their early season performance?
I just think any time you're part of a major storyline and you came as strongly as he did in his approach to how he was feeling and what took place, I mean, Doug, you gotta deal with the heat that comes out of the kitchen if you get out there and you don't play as well. So I don't feel like he's unjustly judged, unfairly being measured and weighed because he put the spotlight on himself based upon things that he said, one mainly being he was 50-50 on if he wanted to return and play or if he wanted to even – you know, go into retirement. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why you could look at the way Aaron Rodgers looked in that first game and the way this Packers team looked in this first game was based off of the confusion and distraction that was caused by what he was a part of during the offseason. So there's no reason to be upset or lash out or say that the media is a bunch of fakes that are trying to be superstars and use a platform to just say what they want to say. It's horse ass. Like, I just think he's lashing out and you know, it's a temper tantrum and, you know, he's got to be a little bit more professional, in my opinion, in terms of what he says and how he handles things, because quite frankly, he's in a delicate situation and in terms of balance of what he represents and what he's trying to get accomplished and where he ultimately leaves his legacy if this is indeed his last season with the Green Bay Packers or even in the league.
I want to ask you about the Raiders. But look, it's only 2 weeks, and so many would say, like, look, it's basically extended preseason. But they got to win over the Steelers in Pittsburgh. No matter how good they are, that's a heck of a win. And they beat the Baltimore Ravens, albeit at home. That's a team that you always respect. Where are you on the Raiders, a team that many thought were the fourth best team in the AFC West?
Well, I think that they have two quality wins, probably the best two quality wins in the National Football League right now. Is that a surprise that they're at 2-0? For me, that's a check yes. Are they for real? I think we got to wait and see if they're for real. But, man, is Carr playing at a MVP level right now? I mean, I think it's up for debate that he may be a front runner right now for the award based on the way he has played going into a hostile environment. As you mentioned, going into Pittsburgh is not easy, even if they may not be as good a team as they have been in years past. But beating the Ravens right out the gate, I mean, they've had to show some grit. They've had to show some resiliency during the course of those games to be able to win. They weren't just fluky games. They had to win those games. Those are teams you got to win against. You don't get lucky against the Ravens. You don't get lucky against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if you understand the history between the Raiders and the Steelers, you know exactly the rivalry, even if it's not, you know, as pronounced in terms of what it used to be. The historical value of that game is still there. So, yeah, they're quality wins. They're quality wins, and you got to look at what Mayock and Chucky have done, John Gruden, in terms of changing the culture, seemingly at this moment having turned around the trajectory of what this team has been, and that's ultimately what they brought those guys in to do.
LeVar Arrington, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, Mac Jones. Does he have it?
Yep. Oh. I mean, Doug, what's the it?
Does he look like a franchise quarterback that can take the Patriots back to the level that they were previously competing at? Maybe not Tom Brady, but like when you watch, like you play, you know how it is when you watch, like, oh, that dog will hunt. Or is it just okay for now because he's ahead of the curve because of how he plays and how developed that team is?
I don't know that it's warranted to go as far as to say he's as far along as people are saying he is. I think that that's dangerous. And whether comparing him to Tom Brady, which is absolutely absurd, like, oh, you know, he's already – Bill Belichick has already gotten his next Tom Brady. Like, I've heard that being said. I've heard a few things being said in terms of what they believe Mac Jones represents. I think it's premature to think that he's anything than a rookie that's getting reps as a rookie that was drafted tops in the draft. And that they're going to see how this pans out. But the odds are against them. I think that's not me being a hater of any sort. That's just calling it what it is, right? I mean, the odds are against most rookie quarterbacks that go to rebuilding organizations. And whether people may want to admit this or not, New England's in a rebuild. And so I don't know that Mac Jones is the quarterback of the future. They may be one or two quarterbacks removed from finding a quarterback, and it may be a free agent quarterback. It may not even be a quarterback that they drafted that ends up being a quarterback that turns this team back into a competitive team. But to look at what competitive represents for New England and what their trajectory may be right now as to what they can become, I don't think anyone knows what that is, but I think it's safe to say it's not going to be what it was. And so I think that that's a pretty daunting task for Mac Jones to walk into. I said that would be a daunting task for any quarterback getting drafted by the New England Patriots, especially as a first rounder. It's just a daunting task for them to walk into to live up to the expectations of what it's going to take to be considered successful as a New England Patriots quarterback.
Do you think Sam Darnold's been fixed during his time in Carolina? Only two games. They played
Hell
tonight.
No.
Do you think
Hell
he's been fixed?
No. He hasn't been fixed. Is he in a better situation? I think anybody right now that doesn't play for the New York Jets is generally in a better situation. I mean, that just is what it is. Zach Wilson is now dealing with what Sam Darnold had to deal with and other quarterbacks that have gone to an organization that just isn't set up to have success. But does this make Sam Darnold, like, now the new football sweetheart of National Football League? I mean, we saw it happen with Tannehill. He left a bad situation and was able to revive and resurrect his career. It could possibly happen. The DNA and the ability that Sam Darnold has isn't diminished because he had some rough years in a rough place. So I think he can play well. I think he can be a guy that lives up to some of the expectation coming out in the draft that he hasn't lived up to since getting drafted. But fixed, I mean, that's you know, I think it's that's a far that's going a tad bit far in terms of the, you know, what we believe him to be. I think he's a serviceable quarterback at the starting position. His defense is playing very well. So, and I hate to say this because I believe that every quarterback is this, but he is a professional game manager right now as it stands. I don't look at him as a franchise guy. He would have to play some hellified football for me to change my opinion of him being a serviceable quarterback that can salvage his career versus he salvaged his career and became a franchise guy.
How do you look at the Cowboys? They lose week one, but very easily could have won against Tampa. They win week two, but very easily could have lost against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have.
And those were games they lost last year.
Yes. Yes. And the year before.
So, and the right? Those were games the close games, the games they were ahead on, games against like Atlanta and other teams last season, they lost. And so to me, they're a team that's first much improved. I do believe they're much improved. They're a team that are dealing with adversity just like any other team by losing defensive front guys in Lawrence, especially, and as well as Gregory. But this is a team that is deeply talented, and I think the addition of Dan Quinn, I've been saying this all along, the addition of Dan Quinn is the hidden gem, the secret get, the big get, the changing factor for this team. Their defense will continue to improve, and you'll see it. You'll see that they're a day and night defense from what they were under Nolan. I think you also have to take into consideration that they have balance in their offensive backfield. And for what it's worth, even though Ezekiel Elliott doesn't appear to be the type of back that would warrant the contract that he was awarded, he's still serviceable while Tony Pollard is adding that burst and that element of big playability that they need out of the backfield. So regardless of paychecks or anything, you have two backs that are doing well for this team. And then there's Dak. I think Dak looks to be poised. I think he's played two very good games so far out of the shoot, and has answered the questions as to if he's healthy enough. And I think he's also answered the question of can he play up to a level of justification for the contract that he was awarded. So as it stands right now, and you can't forget about the offensive line, right? Collins and who's the other defense or the offensive tackle on the left side? I'm blanking on him right now. Who is Tyron Smith.
All right. Yes, left tackle.
So those two tackles are playing at a high level. Your guard is playing at a high level after coming back from missing week one due to what Zach Martin. Their offensive line looks much improved. They look the part. They've played the part. So I think that they're a competitor. I think that they will be the ones that challenge for the NFC East. And I think that whoever they challenge, who are they challenged by, I mean, that will define itself. I thought that preseason the Washington football team would be that team. I still believe that to be true. But I think the Eagles may be a tad bit better than what I was anticipating. And I'm not certain as to how much this Washington football team's defense will be able to carry them if they don't get more out of their offense.
Awesome stuff. LeVar, congrats on the new show. Thanks so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Always a pleasure coming on with you, man.
That's my guy, LeVar Arrington, Two Pros, a Cup of Joe, every morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern time. And, of course, he was a great player at Penn State and with Washington in the NFL. I'll tell you what former NFL player I would like to see play now. Next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Oh, this is like my favorite game day. Let's get to it.
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Beyer, what's the game today?
Doug, the game today is...
I feel a draft.
I think this is going to be a fun one today. A two-round draft, 8 total picks. As you, Doug, myself, Jason Stewart, and John Ramos will be drafting former NFL players that you'd like to see play in today's NFL. Yes, who from an era gone by would you be curious to how they would fare in the NFL today? The draft order, completely random. John Ramos has landed the first overall pick. Doug, you are second. And then it's Jason Stewart and myself, and then we will snake back in reverse order for the second and final round. John Ramos, you are on the clock with the first overall pick.
I am going to take a man that was feared in his time as a linebacker.
Oh, you don't want to trade the pick?
No.
No. Wow. Jeez.
No, I just want to give my pick. An all-defensive player for two decades, I think, maybe three, Richard Butkus.
Oh, Dick Butkus.
Yeah, retired in 1973, so he was a long time ago.
Just so you know, John, we're not drafting favorite characters on My Two Dads. Ah! We are drafting former NFL players that you'd like to see play in today's NFL.
Dick Butkus.
Okay. That one I did not see coming. And I think would have been available later on in the draft.
Value schmalu when it comes to the John Ramos's picking.
What is valued in the NFL at quarterback? Dan Byer.
Arm strength, mobility.
Yeah.
Ability, definitely that.
Size,
decision making.
Right?
Yeah.
Decision making. This guy's a Hall of Famer. He won two Super Bowls. I think he'd be even better today. His name is John Elway. John Elway at two.
All right, Jay Stu, you are up at number three.
I'm going to steal Doug's thought there. The quarterback that I want to see with the current rules, and he was actually my guy growing up, I think Dan Marino would break all the records if he was playing today.
Now, I've got back-to-back picks, and I will admit that John Ramos has picked a selection that I had thought of. And he nailed it before the show when he saw the draft today. I'm going to go, Doug, with Steve Largent. Because if you remember, Steve Largent had held all of the receiving records. Had the consecutive game streak. And then Jerry Rice came along and ended up blowing Steve Largent out of the water. I would love to see where Steve Largent would be in today's NFL. And again, I'm going kind of, off track here with this. I would like to see what the fridge would do in the NFL today because back in the mid-80s, it was such a big deal to have a 330-pound guy and look what he could do on offense. The fridge was such a big deal, but I just wonder if he'd be just another guy in the NFL today. So I'm going to say William the Refrigerator Perry at number five.
Wow. All right, John Ramos, you're up.
Jason's up.
Oh, is there? Yeah, Jason's up.
Sorry, my bad.
Might be one of those Josh McDaniels taking Tim Tebow things that might be laughed at several years down the road.
You're gonna take Tim Tebow?
No, I'm going to take Tom Dempsey.
The kicker,
the straight kicker, the straight kicker,
yes.
Who broke the record 63-yard field goal. But it was always called under question, right? Because didn't he have, concrete for a foot or something crazy?
Yeah,
he had
like a club foot, yeah. Yes.
But he would be fun. I'd like to see him today.
Tom Dempsey is off the board at number six. Doug, you are up at number seven.
Tom Dempsey. There's only two choices on offense. Well, I had three choices. Maybe one's a quarterback, but I already took one. I'm not going to go wide receiver and Jerry Rice, although I could. I'm going to go Barry Sanders.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Could have been the all-time rushing leader. Didn't catch it a ton out of the backfield, but could. Just didn't back then. And, he's a make-you-miss guy. And as much as we think the world's passed running backs by, that's not actually true. The best running backs dominate football. It's just how long do they last? Not nearly as long as previously.
All right, John Ramos, you have the final pick of the draft.
I'm going to go with what Doug did in the second pick, a mobile quarterback that I think today would have a field day out there because he kind of brought us into that, and that would be Randall Cunningham, 6'4", 215 pounds, retired in, I think, 2001. I like Randall Cunningham to play in today's NFL. I think he'd be wonderful.
That's a good pick.
Cunningham's pretty good. That's a good pick.
Yeah. He kind of transformed his career a little bit when he was the mobile quarterback with the Eagles.
Twice.
And then, with the Vikings, ended up being a part of that offense that was a record setter.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. And if signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't pay for it by NHTSA. We have now a pattern of how our football week goes, right? Game on Thursday tonight. Build up for Saturday. Saturday is college football. Sunday is pro football. But what happens after that for Aaron Rodgers? Well, I think has happened for a second straight week. He expounded. That's next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.